I heard Rabbi Ari Leibowitz say this morning that one time he told Rav Schechter, Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, that he would give shir on Agadat of the Korban every year at night on Tisha B'Av. The shir that he gave last night lasted about 2.5 hours. And when he told that to Rav Schechter wasn't so impressed because giving a shir on Tisha B'Av, even things that you're allowed to learn, the Torah, so to speak, is an avelus. There's two potentially two reasons why we don't learn regular Torah on Tisha B'Av. On the one hand, it might be because that the words of Hashem, words of Torah, give a simcha, but that would be the reason not to learn the things that are the things that give us joy, but the things that don't give us joy, things that are sad in nature, maybe we'll be allowed to learn. But at the same time, there's also perhaps an idea of not giving Torah over publicly because the Torah is nevela. We read in the Torah this morning that one of the reasons for the korban, Hashem says that the people sort of ran away from the Torah or forsook the Torah. So in that case, it's maybe something a little bit deeper than that. So Rabbi Leibowitz said, maybe there's an inyan that we're learning together. I'm learning out loud, and everybody here is listening to me. Everybody is listening to me learn a little bit out loud. But I'm not going into incredible depth of what we're learning. But I thought about learning some of the midrashim this afternoon would be worthwhile. And what I want the midrashim that I want to explore this afternoon are midrashim related to the concept of our connection of Hashem b'nei Yisrael. Hashem carried out the Hashem desired for not desired, but Hashem decreed for the Beis Hamikdash to happen. This was His will, not maybe desire, but will would be a more appropriate word. And I want to explore what's this relationship that Hashem has with B'nai Israel. Because obviously at this moment, maybe we feel, skriyu ma'os, as we said in the Kina this morning, we feel a little bit cast away. St. Tachman, that we don't want to be considered ketumas hanida in the sense of being sort of, exiled, being sent away in, the intimacy we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want that to, that's not the relationship we want to have. But how do we balance it? I think Midrashim give a lot of interesting insight. Worth noting, of course, that the month that we observe this Moed of Tisha B'Av, it's called Av. What does Av means father. And sometimes we call Menachem Av. It's a month that our father comforts. But we have this relationship with Hashem. It's Avinu, it's Malkeinu, it's our father, he's our king. But looking at this at this Moed through that context of Hashem being an Av, maybe will give us a little bit of perspective, and I'll come back to that perhaps at the very end. So let's look at the first Medrash. Comes from the very beginning of Eicha Rabbah. Rabbi Abahu Patach Behema Ke'adam Avru Brit. So the Pasuk says, they like men have violated the covenant. Ke'adam. This is referring to whom? This is referring to Adam HaRishon. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon, Nichnaski Oto LeGan Eden. I put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. Tivitiv, I gave him a command not to eat from a certain fruit. Varval Otivui, and he violated my command. Vedanti Oto BeGerushin, and I carried out the sentence that he should be banished, he would be expelled. Konanti alav echa, and I lamented him with echa. What does the word echa have to do with Adam HaRishon? So now we're going to go down. We're going to break this down a bit. So Yinachti, so how do we know that Hashem put him into Gan Eden? It was a pasuk. Rikach Hashem Elokim as Adam v'yanichehu up in Gan Eden. Hashem took Adam HaRishon, put him in Gan Eden. That's a pasuk. The Tivitiv, I commanded him. Shneimar v'itzav Hashem Elokim al Adam l'mor. Hashem commanded him not to eat from Yitzchayim. We know that he violated the command. So that again is explicit in the pasuk. The dan tiyotel begerushin, the word gerushin is the word that we use for a divorce. So, as in a Kodesh Baruch Hu divorced Adam Harishon, he banished him. Ne'amar ve'garesha ta'adam, he banished Adam from Gan Eden. Dan tiyotel b'shiluchin, and sort of another description of this is that Hashem sent him from Gan Eden b'shalfehu. V'kunanti alav eicha. Now we get to this idea that Hashem lamented with Adam with the word eicha. So how do we know this? Ne'amar v'yomer lo ayeka. Hashem asked Adam Harishon, where, the word ayeka means where are you? But if you look at it without the vowels, what does it say? It's echa, echa ki. So you can look at this from a couple of different ways. You know, it could say, you know, how's it possible, Adam Harishon, I gave you one thing to do. That's a lot of freedom. We might think that 613 mitzvahs is a lot. If only Hashem gave us one mitzvah, maybe, you know, maybe we'd keep everything if he only gave us one mitzvah. But Hashem gave Adam Harishon one mitzvah, he didn't keep it. Echa, how's it possible that you didn't keep it? But at the same time, there is a powerful parallel here that sometimes maybe hiding a little bit from we're hiding a little bit from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this what happened with Adam when he heard Hashem was walking, so to speak, in the garden. So that's Adam starts hiding. That's when Hashem says Ayeka. Sometimes that's our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that that we're hiding a little bit. And that's where the relationship begins to break down. That we're whatever it is, we put up this barrier. We hide from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't want to. We're not able to connect fully. That's something perhaps that we're mourning today. Is that the Jewish people sometimes we're hiding a little bit from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? That's Ayeka. That's Eicha. So up enough Yichnasi Otam LeEretz Yisrael. Same thing with the Jewish people. I put them in the land of Israel. Shenemar v'abiyat tam el eretz haKarmel, the tivitim shenemar tzavet ben Yisrael. So Hashem put us in Eretz Yisrael. He gave us mitzvos. Ruel tivuyi. They violated my commandments. Shenemar v'chol Yisrael ruel toratecha. Jewish people. It's supposed to pasuk Daniel that the Jewish people violated your Torah. The danti otam begerushim shenemar mibeti agashim. I'm going to send them away from my home. The danti otam b'shiluchin. And I said I was going to send them away. And Marshalach me'al panavitu, the kunanti aleihem, I gave the kina echa yashva badad. This is something that connects us back to Adam Harishon. Perhaps it's maybe a little bit part of the human condition that we have this sort of relationship that we have a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu provides for us. We know we're supposed to do it. We don't do it. But what you see here from the fact that the konanti aleihem echa, Kodesh Baruch Hu laments, right? Which is to say that perhaps the Kodesh Baruch Hu felt like he had to do this, but at the same time, he laments. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mourning with us, so to speak. Yechiel Spiro brings a story. Brings a parable that. There was a couple who didn't have children for a long time. And they cried until they were finally blessed with a son. Then they had lots of joy and they were thrilled and they spoiled their child in every way possible. Their love was indescribable. Then the son grows older, his health begins to fail, and he was having different illnesses. They went to one doctor and another doctor. But the child needed to build antibodies, he needed to be able to fight the disease. In order to do that, he needed to go to a particular facility that was far away. And as part of the therapy, the doctors insisted that the parents not have contact with the child more than once a month. But the parents said, "What? This is our only child. How could we possibly be separated for so long?" So the doctor insisted if they wanted their son to survive, so they have to be able to send him away for at least 3 to 4 years. They had no choice. They packed up the child. They cried bitterly as they sent him off. He was taken to a facility. He was not pampered. He was not given the same kind of relationship that he obviously had with his parents. No late night snacks, no hugs, no kisses. But they wanted the child to build his own strength, which would also his own emotional strength, which would hopefully help his physical strength, but he was able to talk to his parents each month. The phone calls were emotional. And then there were a few years, and then the child was told he was going to go home. And the boy barely remembered what his parents looked like. He had been 5 years old when he had left. And so his parents came to pick him up, but then at the last second, the doctor said, he needs another 6 more months. And the boy burst out crying, and the mother nearly fainted because she had been yearning. And then 6 months passed, and there's more phone calls each month, but they were filled with a sense of caution because they knew the first time it didn't work out so well. So another 6 months passed, and the parents are going to pick him up again, and he was excited, but he was afraid of what would happen. And he leaves his room, then he leaves the building, got a little bit farther than he did the last time, and then the doctor saw him, and then the boy begins to cry because the look on the doctor's face demonstrated that something wasn't right. The boy would need more treatment, more months in the facility. There's nothing more they could do. And this kept happening year after year. And the phone calls would come, but at a certain point, it's just lip service saying, I love you, because it was a little bit meaningless. Rav Tzvi Meir Silverberg uses this parable to sort of explain perhaps in Israel, we're filled with an ailment. We need to be sent away from a Kaddish Baruch Hu's land because it wasn't working out. And it's not something that the Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to do. The Konanti, Kaddish Baruch Hu laments. But nonetheless, this is what needed to happen for us to be rehabilitated. So that's the first medrash. Second medrash comes from, is based on the first parak of Echad. The pasuk says, we don't quite have it in Hebrew. Let me get it in Hebrew quickly. Pasuk says, "Niskad al pshaai b'yado yistargu alu atzavari hichshil kochi netanani Hashem bidei lo chalkum." The yoke of my fences is bound fast, lashed tight by his hand, imposed upon my neck, except my strength. The Lord has delivered me into the hands of those I cannot withstand. Midrash focuses on this word niskad, the yoke of my transgression is preserved, niskad, in his hand. I was calm about my sins. As I said this morning, the Navi Yirmiyahu laments that the warnings were there, the warnings of the Qurban were there, but people didn't want to accept them. They said, shalom, 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 vein shalom. They thought that there was peace, but not everything was quite as well as they thought. So yeah, I was calm. I thought everything was okay. I thought, b'sha'asha shamati sha'analogin shali nikram ilmala. I thought that, sorry, hayiti sheim choli akov notai. I thought that they would pardon me for everything. B'sha'asha shamati sha'analogin shali nikram ilmala. And then I heard that my promissory note was ripped on high. So I thought I'd be pardoned, but it didn't quite work out that way. So that's niskad. But davar acher, niskad with a shin, perhaps. Shakar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu strove. Kaddish Baruch Hu thought about how to bring about, how is it going to be that I'm going to exile them? Amar, imani magle otam b'tkufo tevet. If I exile them in the winter, arhen lokim b'tzino mitin. Like the death marches, the death marches from Auschwitz all the way over to German land. So they did them in the winter months, and people were treading in the snow, and people died. Kaddish Baruch Hu said, if I'm going to exile them in the winter, then they're going to be cold and they're going to die. I'm going to do it in the summer. They won't die of the cold on the way. Another explanation. Kaddish Baruch Hu thought about how he's going to bring about this terrible decree. If I do it in the winter, there's not going to be grapes, and there won't be any dates, figs for them to eat from. I'll do it in the summer. Be able to eat grapes and figs along the way. And the leaves will not wither. Thought about how to bring about this wrongdoing of this evil decree. If I bring them through the desert, I bring them south toward Egypt, they're going to die of starvation. Armenia. No, instead, I'll bring them through Arminus, where there are cities. There's a crack in Mechoza, Machal, Mishta, Matzvilahem. They'll be able to get food along the way. I was calm about my iniquities, as we had mentioned before. I thought that Kadosh Baruch Hu would pardon me. At least Dargwas, Alai Srigo Srigo. He brought alternating rulers upon me. So there's Babylonia and the Chaldeans and Persia and Media and Greece and Macedonia and Edom and the Arabs. So Babylonia, they were harsh. The Medians were not so bad. Greece was difficult. Romans maybe not as bad. Kastim, Kasha, Paras, Vituna. The Chaldeans were difficult, Persians not so much. Mokdam Kasha Vishma Matuna. The thing means Tamakuta Teve Takipa Mina Teve Tvira. Also, Daniel says some of the kingdom will be strong and some of it will be brittle. Despite all this, I did not deny Hashem, rather coming alu, coming upon my name. Israel, Miyachadishma Bapoyam Pamain, but Shma Israel Shama Kenyafani. Jewish people said Shema Yisrael every single day. So you get from this Medrash, is I guess again the theme that Kadosh Baruch Hu can't necessarily rationalize why Kadosh Baruch Hu would want to bring such harsh punishments upon us. There are answers, but the day of mourning, it's not necessarily to rationalize, but. But at the same time, we know that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided this was the right thing to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do it in a way that would be the least depleting, the least in a way that would break us the least. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to wipe us out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt like that this was what was going to be necessary in order for us to do tshuva, to come back to Him. He wanted it to be in a way that even though it was going to be harsh, it was going to be difficult, but there'd be moments of relief. It's like they're different, you know, certain environments we've had it good, certain environments we've had it bad. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us, exiled us in the summer so that we wouldn't die of starvation, we wouldn't die of the freezing cold. Kadosh Baruch Hu had there's still that relationship there. But Sparkle still had a little bit of Rahmanas on us. I want to skip to the next one from Eicham Rabba from Parakeh. Pasuk we all know, Hashvinu Hashem Alacha v'nashuva, Adesh Amenu kekedem. Return us to you, Hashem, and we will return, renew our days as of old. Amar Knesset Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam Shelchaihu Hashivenu. The Jewish people say to Hashem, Hashivenu. It's your responsibility to bring us back. Amar Lehem Shalachem Hu. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's upon you to do. Shemar Shuvu Elai Vashuva Alechem. Return to me and I will return to you. First, we have to return to Kadosh Baruch Hu and then he'll return to us. Mashem. Amar Lefana Ribono Shalom Shalachem Hu. No, it's your responsibility. Shemar Shuvenu El Rei Ishenu. Bring us back, Hashem. Of our salvation. That's why it says, bring us back, Hashem. No, it's your responsibility to bring us back, and then we will return. And then, renew our days as of old, to Adam Arishon, like Adam Arishon. It's like we start with the beginning. Baruch Hu banished Adam Arishon from Gan Eden, stationed him in the east. The offering of Judah and Yerushalayim should be pleasant to Hashem, as in the days of old, as in former years. Kimei Olam refers to Moshe. Dichtiv Eskor Yimei Olam Moshe Amo. Pasuk Malachi says, as in the days of old, he remembered the days of old, Moshe, his people. Shanim Kanmoniyot, in his former years, that's like Shlomo HaMelech. Rabbi Omer Kimei Olam refers to Noah. is one of the psukim we'll read in the Haftarah of consolation. For like the waters of Noah, this is for me. Days of Hevel, when there was no idolatry in the world. So when we talk about returning to the days of old, what is it that we're returning to? Maybe it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, like we have with in the Pasuk, Vavar Hashem in Chayush Yudav Yisholayim, days of Shlomo. As we talked about last night, the days of Shlomo were marked by as periods of political stability, both because of the relations that Israel had with the other nations, the stability of the political dynasty. Shlomo HaMelech didn't fight any wars. Maybe that's what we're returning to. Maybe we're returning back to the period of Adam HaRishon, time of Gan Eden. Maybe in between there, we're returning to days of Noah, after the Mabu. Each of these in some ways are a fresh start. Right? Adam being in Gan Eden, obviously the beginning of humanity, a fresh start. Noah after the flood, a fresh start for humanity. Days of Moshe, a fresh start for Bnei Israel as a nation. Likewise, days of Shlomo HaMelech also are days of a fresh start with the Beis HaMikdash. But we want that sense of Chadesh HaMenu Kekedem, that they should be renewed. Obviously, it's not, at this point, it's not new as if there's never been anything before. It's not a complete beginning, but nonetheless, a renewed beginning, new opportunity with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But again, to go back to the beginning of the Medrash, there's this idea that there's something reciprocal. On the one hand, we want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back. The other hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to initiate. But what's clear from this pasuk that comes towards the end of Eicha, is that Hashem's exiling us is not meant to be permanent. It's not the severing entirely of a relationship. We do leave on that note that we're meant to come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that whatever we're going through, however long it will be, it's not forever. The relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu is still there. Now I'll end with this short medrash on the last pasuk. Eicha ends. I have a full pasuk. Ends. Key. Apologize about that. For truly you have rejected us, bitterly raged against us. The Midrash says, Kimas Mastanu Katsafta Alenu Adme Od, Amar Abishum Ben Lakish, Ima Isa Yi Leitzvar. If it's the Isa, if it's total despising, then there's no hope. But if it's anger, Itzvar, then there is hope. The Kolman de Chais Sofer Litratia. Anyone who's angry will ultimately be assuaged. Think about anger. Dr. John Gottman says in his books about relationships that the worst thing that can happen in a relationship, the worst thing that can happen between a couple is that they have such contempt that they're not talking to each other, that they, or even before you get to that point, if somebody ignores you, it's worse than somebody being angry. Because when there's anger, there's still a relationship, there's still a connection. And sometimes the reason why there's anger happened between a couple of family members recently, a little bit of a fight that I witnessed, that there's a lot of anger, but the reason why there was anger is because the behaviors that precipitated this weren't typical. The reason why there's anger is because you still want that connection and there's something missing. But if it's total despising, if it's total contempt, then all it's lost. But you know, it's interesting that we don't end on this puzzle. We go back to Hashiveinu. But even this pasuk is also sort of a sense of hope and consolation that hopefully it's not ma'os, but hopefully it's katzachta. We end on the note of katzachta. But yes, Kodesh Baruch Hu is definitely angry, but that anger is going to eventually subside. There will be a relationship. I think the theme that we found in these midrashim is that I find tefillah to be difficult during Tishba, this sense of satam tefillati, that Kodesh Baruch Hu closes out our prayers, and it's hard to figure out what's our relationship with Hashem on Tishba when he decreed that these calamities that have happened through Jewish history are going to happen. And the Midrash reminds us that in all these Midrashim, we're reminded that the goal was never to completely sever the relationship, but Kodesh Baruch Hu had to punish us. Rabbi Jonathan, in fact, eloquently writes in Parsha Bekukotai there's no punishment and there's no incentive to keep rules. There's no sense to have a lawful society. You need there to be a credible threat of punishment for it to be carried out, for there to be a really sense of having to come back. So it's difficult to feel like that what we've gone through Jewish history is justified, but we know that somehow or another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought needed to happen for a better, and it was never meant to be the complete severing of a relationship. And Rabbi Spiro tells the following story. It says, a second grade Rebbe told me that in his first year of teaching, one of the children in his class lost his father. He was uncertain as a teacher how to handle the situation. And at the time, he had begun teaching the boys Manishtana. As many teach it with some of the more yeshivish schools, he too began with the Yiddish words Tata Liban, dear father, addressing the father Manishtana. But the Rebbe knew that when the boy was going to recite Manishtana, it would, no doubt, be a heart-rending scene. His colleague suggested that he teach Mama Liban, dear mother, as the boy was going to say Manishtana to his mother. And finally, he asked one of the leading Rosh Hashiva what to do. He told him that the boy should say Tata Liban, because a child will always have his Tata in Himmel, his loving father in heaven. And that's, I think, the message that we come out with on Tisha B'Av, Menachem Av, that maybe right now it's Av, but as we come out of Tisha B'Av, it's going to be Menachem Av, the father who did what he had to do, at the same time as the father who gives us consolation, as we will read in the Haftaras of Nechemta, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us consolation, which is to say that the relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is certainly not one of that's been severed, but it's one where Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Ayaka, where are you? Don't run away from me. Be with me. There's still that relationship. But Kadosh Baruch Hu mourned over the korban. Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we noted in Kinos Esporim, he talks about destruction of Beis Hamikdash. He says he takes responsibility. I did this. Kadosh Baruch Hu mourned for us and is with us in this moment. And Amir Tashem very soon. We'll be able to. It'll be Hashivinu Avinu Tartecha VeKarvin Malkinu VeTartecha. That we'll have a full return to a Kadosh Baruch Hu.